but it's magical anyhow. Palace of Pledge, we'll get back to you in a few minutes. You are listening to The Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 11 o'clock. And join us in a half hour for Black Book Talk. It's our monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African-American authors. But first, Between the Covers is up next. And today, Sarah Van Gelder, founder of Yes Magazine, will talk about her new book. Stick around. That's next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Becoming Dr. Ruth, produced by Triangle Theater. Starting February 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Becoming Dr. Ruth tells the story of the outrageous and iconic Dr. Ruth Westheimer and the journey she took from fleeing the Nazis to her struggle as a single mother to coming to America and becoming a renowned sex therapist. Again, that's Becoming Dr. Ruth, produced by Triangle Productions, from February 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO. I'm speaking with Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine. She is also a former KBOO volunteer. She and the staff of Yes Magazine edited the new book, Sustainable Happiness. They have been exploring the meaning of real happiness for 18 years. This book is a compilation of voices from Yes Magazine that show us creative and practical ways to cultivate a happiness that is nurturing, enduring, and life-affirming. Sarah Van Gelder, thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Why did you and your fellow staff members decide to make this book about happiness, specifically sustainable happiness?
Well, Yes Magazine has been interested in the question for a long time of how we move to a more just and sustainable society. And our view is that one of the addictions, one of the issues that's keeping us stuck in the old ways is a really impoverished view of happiness. It's a view of happiness that advertisers have sold to us. They've spent billions of dollars every year selling it to us. And it keeps us on a track of thinking that consumerism, that buying more, having more, you know, being part of that whole overwork, overspend, over debt cycle is somehow going to bring about happiness. And as long as we stay on that treadmill, it's really hard to make the transition to a more just and sustainable and frankly, a happier way of life. So we wanted to dig deep into that question of real happiness as part of an effort to decolonize our minds, to free ourselves from this really false view of what happiness is.
So that's Yes Magazine, and then why put it together in this particular form?
In the form of a book?
Yeah.
Well, we've done a number of articles about it. We've done even whole issues on sustainable happiness. And it seemed like a book is a way to reach people who aren't already getting Yes materials. So we partnered with Barrett Kohler Publishers, and they publish a wide range of books, especially on business and on social change and on cultural change. And they've been a great partner for us in the past. And of course, they're able to reach bookstores and reach audiobooks and international distributions in ways that we can't necessarily reach. And then we also found that people love to have something like a book to give away as a gift or to use in settings where a magazine just doesn't quite work for them.
What does the term sustainable happiness mean?
Sustainable happiness has a subtitle, Live Simply, Live Well, and Make a Difference. And the idea of sustainable happiness is that it can be sustained in many respects. It can sustain our well-being, so it isn't sort of a fleeting sense of like a buyer's high when you go out and buy something and you feel like, oh, I just did something awesome, and you know, you feel really good for a few minutes until you start figuring out about paying for it and assembling it or finding a place for it along with all the other clutter and all that. So the buyer's high is sort of a transient form of happiness, and we're talking about a kind of happiness that is sustained. But it's also a kind of happiness that can sustain our society, because the kind of happiness linked to consumerism is really destroying a lot about our way of life, a lot about the way in which cheap stuff and low wages go together. So it's really undermining people's ability to have a decent standard of living in the United States and around the world. And it's also undermining our ecological well-being. So this kind of happiness is a kind of happiness that doesn't do either one, that we can be happy without undermining the ecological systems of the planet. We can be happy without requiring people to work for sweatshop level wages. So it's sustainable on all those levels.
And the book does weave together the aspects of this topic that are individual and the kind of things that individuals can do, and then even global issues that you just talked about and how they're related to it too. So that was a really great way to kind of see this issue from a number of perspectives.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's up right now is, of course, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the interest of the Obama administration and a lot of Republicans in Congress to get fast-track trade authority so that we can move ahead, the United States can move ahead with a trade agreement with Europe, I mean with Asia. And it really should not be called a trade agreement, because in many respects it's far more than that. It's really almost a new constitution that supersedes a lot of our local and national laws. And it's all being done in the interest of, or we're being told, it's the way that we can get lots of jobs and lots of cheap stuff. Well, the truth is it does neither one. And those are the kinds of things that I think is really important for us to think about as we're thinking about, you know, what brings about real well-being? Is real well-being having the most possible quantities of cheap stuff being manufactured by people who are being paid rock-bottom wages? I mean, these are you know, companies that were located in Mexico and China, and then they found out they had to pay too much there, and they actually relocated to even lower-wage countries. So is that the kind of world we want, in which there's this race to the bottom, to absolute, you know, degrading wages? Or do we want the kind of a society where we maybe live a little more simply? Maybe we don't buy quite so much stuff, but what we do buy is made to last. And maybe we buy locally. We reduce the carbon footprint because we're buying from people in our own communities. And maybe they're things that people are making in smaller batches and they're paying themselves well. And maybe because they're more expensive that way, we don't buy them as often. But when we do, we know it's going to be something that lasts. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of ways that it all is actually part of one big picture.
GPI, the Genuine Progress Indicator, talk about what that is and how it relates.
Well, in a way, the Genuine Progress Indicator is a way of measuring, in a sense, happiness or well-being for the entire society. And it's more common for policymakers to use the gross domestic product, the GDP, which measures how much economic activity there is, or how much cash essentially is changing hands. But it doesn't tell us anything about well-being. For example, if there's a whole bunch of car crashes, and so you have to buy new cars and do a lot of repair, and people are going to the hospital, that would increase the GDP because more cash is changing hands, but it would not be necessarily leading to any more well-being. And yet that's the measure that policymakers use to decide if their policies are successful. You know, we talk about, you hear on the news all the time, is our economy growing? Is it growing in terms of gross domestic product? Is it more cash changing hands? We think there's and many people think there's a much more useful way of looking at our well-being, and that's the Genuine Progress Indicator. There's different variations on this, but basically what it does is it measures a much more holistic set of metrics that help us know whether we're doing well or not. So it measures things like health, and it measures education, measures the quality of the environment. If the environmental quality is going down, and, you know, and our health is going down and so forth, even if there's more economic activity, we wouldn't necessarily say that was a successful policy. So there's actually two states. There's the state of Maryland and the state of Vermont that are now implementing the Genuine Progress Indicator. So policymakers in those two states will have that far richer set of data that's far more reflective of the well-being of the people in their state, rather than just relying on this really impoverished measure of economic activity.
I'm speaking with Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine and editor of the new book, Sustainable Happiness. And now we are joined by the very happy Lynn and Will, who are here to tell us how to sustain KBOO with a pledge of support.
That's right.
Thank you, Kathleen. The first way you do that, right, Will?
Yep.
How do you do it? How do you do it?
877 500 5266.
Excellent.
What was that?
877-500-KBOO.
That's what I thought. So we're with this Sarah Van Gelder's book and the magazine. We're offering both right now. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
Whoa.
We have it's a kind of a twofer. Now you can get them each separately, but you can get Sarah Van Gelder's the book that she has edited, Sustainable Happiness, and a subscription to Yes Magazine for $120 a year. That is $10 a month if you have an EFT. Which
so
of course
you
would
start.
You get
the book, the magazine, and you support KBOO.
Yes,
that's
all those.
Amazing.
That's three things. That's three things that you get to have.
Yeah.
And that puts...
three is the magic number.
Yeah, that'll put your happiness index way, way up there.
It will. It will. And it will increase your wellness, your general sense of well-being when you know that you're supporting your community radio station. A wonderful
and it,
resource.
And keeps KBOO's sense of well-being going too. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Or go to kboo.fm, click on donate. That should get you there. It's safe, it's secure, it's very easy. Or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th.
That's right. We have a lovely receptionist on right now.
Our bike rack are earphones. We have a great graphic out mural on the front of the station. It's easy to find us. Come on down. Yes, check with our receptionist. We can give you a cup of coffee, a tour of the station. You can see where your money goes.
And
no,
you
I'm guards here keeping people out. Nope,
yep.
nope.
And
we
you can meet
are
some
welcoming.
People. Yeah, and there's no like fascist big building with uniformed jackbooted thugs. This is a welcome place. This is a community radio station, and you are part of that community, and you are a living, vibrant part of that community when you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And you get this fascinating conversation with Sarah Van Gelder talking about her book and a concept of sort of quantifying happiness or general well-being. How do we access a healthier lifestyle, a more fulfilling lifestyle? And you can find out by reading this book, enjoying the magazine that she publishes monthly, but also through listening to KBOO. I know that's why you do it. So grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. It's incredibly important, and it's a great thing to do.
Absolutely. Like Gavin from Milwaukee, Miss Mercedes came in to donate and to support KBOO, and Anna from Corbett donated and is getting a hoodie, and we'll tell you more about that later.
Awesome.
So tune in. Stay tuned.
I'm speaking with Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine and editor of the new book, Sustainable Happiness.
Just a little bit, if you could say, about the history of American-style happiness, how we got to this place where we're so dependent on buying more or becoming a consumer of all these things.
Sure. So there's actually a time back in the 1920s when business leaders got very worried that Americans were satiated, that we had enough stuff. And if that was the case, maybe we weren't going to buy so much and the economy would slow down, the economic growth would slow down. Well, there's a couple of different ways you could look at that situation. You could say, well, if we have enough stuff, maybe we could work less. We could share the work there is to do. We could all work less. We could share the profits from it so we'd have enough money to live on. But then we could spend our time doing some other things. You know, we could spend more time raising our children or taking care of our elders or doing things in the community or being part of the political process or having a spiritual life or hobbies or getting more educated. I mean, there's so many things we can imagine that we could do with our time if we had the opportunity to work less and still make a living. But of course, those kinds of activities don't result in any profits for large corporations. And they decided they wanted to take things in a different direction, which was to figure out how do you keep consumerism increasing? How do you keep that sense of always needing more? And so they actually joined forces with the folks that were, the newly popular Freudian psychologists to figure out how to link our deepest desires for love and esteem and meaning, how to link those deep desires we have to the whole notion of buying more stuff. And there's actually a quote in the book from Herbert Hoover, President Hoover, who said, "Wants are almost insatiable. We have a boundless field before us. There are new wants that will make way endlessly for newer wants." And he said, "Wants and needs constantly need to be stirred up." So that was is actually a conscious decision to do that. And then billions of dollars that the advertising world has spent to keep linking those deep desires we have with buying more stuff. And whether or not any one of us is convinced by a specific car ad or a specific beer that we have to buy that beer, the subtext for all the ads are that you will be happier, you will be better off if you buy. Not that you will be happier from the things that we actually know bring about real happiness.
And the things that people can do, for instance, there's an essay by Jen Angel who says there are 10 things that science says will make you happy. And that's from the individual perspective mostly. And according to science, what are some of the things that make an individual happy? How do they know this, and what are they?
Yeah, so this was part of our effort to decolonize happiness, if you will, to say, well, what do we know about real happiness? And you can turn to all sorts of sources. You can turn to your grandmother who'd said, you know, count your blessings. So remember to feel gratitude. And when you feel gratitude, that's in a sense a way of feeding your sense of enoughness, that you don't have to go out and buy more and more and more to be happy. In fact, in many respects, you may have enough, and that can lead to a very deep kind of peace. So that's one source, is your grandmother. Another source is religious leaders or spiritual leaders, and they also pretty much say the same thing, that, you know, materialism is not where you're going to get happiness. It's going to be from an expansive sense of what you're a part of, and from, you know, caring about other people and what you do for other people. This particular set of ideas comes out of scientific research. Mm-hmm. And we thought, if we're going to talk about happiness, it's such an amorphous topic and in some ways so subjective, we thought it'd be helpful to look at some of the research on it. So things like on the list are things like savor everyday moments. And Jen Angel in this article talks about study participants who took time to savor ordinary events that they normally hurried through, or to think back on pleasant moments from their day. And the psychologist who was testing this said that they showed significant increases in happiness and reductions in depression. Another one is to have meaningful goals. So you're striving for something that's significant to you. You're not letting this consumer culture set your goals. You're becoming conscious of the things that you want. And they found that having some kind of a sense of what is pleasurable, but also what's meaningful, that in that space, people tend to be happier. Make friends and treasure family. You know, and this one sounds so obvious, right? We all know that's the kind of thing that brings about happiness. But there is a lot of evidence that people who have strong support networks have longer lives. They have longer life expectancy. If you spend all your time at work and in buying stuff and in front of a computer screen, you're not going to have the time to build those relationships and to deepen them in a way that can really nurture yourself and the people that you're with and those relationships. So those are a few of them.
Right. And that actually brings up a question. It's not directly covered in the book, but it's something the book made me think about, and that is, do computers make us happy or happier? What's some of the thinking that does come up in the book about computers?
Yes, and I think there's a wide range of answers to that. But one part we looked at is the question of whether we're spending too much time looking at screens of various sizes. And the authors of these articles suggested that they were happier when they balanced spending time online with spending time with the real flesh and blood human beings that they were in a family with or friends with. So there's a couple of different innovations there. One is a cafe that actually decided to make one day a week a laptop-free day, Because cafes used to be places where we went to hang out with the people that were actually there. And if you have a screen in front of your face, people aren't going to feel like it's okay to interrupt you, and they don't want to bother you, you know. So it's kind of like the signal of leave me alone. So they just had one day a week where they asked people to put their laptops away. And sure enough, people started conversations, and they started coming specifically because they knew that was going to be the ethic of that day. And then another example is a family that decided to do a weekly tech Sabbath, they called it, which is one day a week where the whole family was going to put their computers away and they were going to spend time with one another. And there's actually a list of things in the book that of things that you can do with that day, because a lot of us have lost track of the idea that that it's possible to go a whole day without technology.
Right. And mindfulness was written about in the book, and would seem to be an underlying kind of thought to this whole idea of sustainable happiness, is how does mindfulness fit in?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what mindfulness is about, it's about being conscious that we have choices and stepping back from things that are either habit or even addictions and saying, is that what I really want? And then, and reflecting on which of those things bring one happiness, and which of them are just, we're just doing because an advertiser says, or because we've gotten in a habit, or even because we've got an addiction, whether it's to shopping or to chocolate or to alcohol or any of those substances that really take us away from that awareness that we have choice. Mm-hmm. One of the articles, one of my favorite ones, is by a Buddhist who's actually been a translator for the Dalai Lama, Mikhail Ricard, I believe is his name. And he talks about, you know, when you think about the really happy moments in your life, you know, you think about the moments you are fulfilled with pure joy, they're often things like, very simple things like walking on a beach or looking at the stars with a friend. They're very simple things, but the thing that seems to set them apart is you're in the moment. You're not thinking about the future. You're not mulling over what could have happened in the past or feeling regrets. You're just appreciating the very moment that you're in. And it's so simple, and yet those are the moments that seem to be the most joy-filled when we allow ourselves to have them. He talks about the importance of resting in that moment of the present. And when you can build that as a habit, to have that sense of awareness of the moment you're in, then that's a place, a sort of a psychological place you can return to when things get difficult. It's sort of a sheltered, safe, and nourishing place within your own being that you always have to return to during difficult times. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that are, again, in that category of age-old wisdom, because these are not new ideas. These are very, very old ideas. And they take practice, you know, whether it's a meditation practice or some other mindfulness practice, there's many, many ways to get there. But it takes intention and doing it, not just thinking about it.
This is Between the Covers on KBOO Portland. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and I'm speaking with Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine and editor of the new book, Sustainable Happiness. And now we're joined by Lynn and Will again with information about how you can sustain KBOO and get a copy of Sustainable Happiness.
That's right, Kathleen. Thank you very much. This is a great show. And sustaining happiness. I mean, the pursuit of happiness is what we're all following, I believe. And KBOO, I think knowledge and being informed and being a healthy and intelligent individual is very, very important. And KBOO gives you access to that. It's up to you to eat well, but we can also, there are many shows about eating well. And I mean, KBOO is such a great resource, such a an integral part of Portland and your community. You can show your appreciation for KBOO by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. There are other ways to donate or show your support. You can look us up on kboo.fm. That's our website. It's very simple and very convenient to donate that way. And then one of my favorite ways is by walking in the front door. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Got a lovely mural out front, and the lovely Michelle, talking of lovely things, is our receptionist today. We're very fortunate to have her.
It's all so lovely.
Yep, and there are many volunteers here, many members of staff. There's a lot going on at KBOO at all times of the day. And
We are a 24/7 operation.
It's a community radio station.
Absolutely.
And you can show your support for your community by dialing 877-500-5266. We have some more thank yous. Some people have pledged their support.
We can. Cuddy has renewed from Southeast Portland. He likes the music, and his son was participated in the youth program. We have a youth collective.
Oh, great.
But
that's
first,
such
I want to tell. It is, it is. It's an actual. We teach kids how to do radio. But right now, I want to let you know that you can get a copy of this book, Sustainable Happiness, and a subscription to Yes Magazine for a year for $120 contribution. That is $10 a month. That is easy peasy. Or you can do it with $120 all at once, but you can do it in little bite-sized pieces of $10 a month when you call with your pledge of support right now to 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. Or, like Will said, come on down, 20 Southeast 8th. It's fun. You get to see where your money goes. And it's a really great way to get, do your contribution, take a little tour of the station, and
no
say hi to
here.
Folks. Yep. Say hi to all of us folks with faces for radio.
That's right. And there's no frills here. There's no extra bits that we run on a shoestring budget.
I thought
budget.
There was a hot tub.
She was sunk.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, doesn't matter. 877-500-5266. No vacation homes. Okay, 877-500-5266. Support KBOO now. You can do it. It's real easy to do it as a sustaining member, where we can take little bite-sized chunks out every month, and you know that you're sustaining KBOO, and we know that we're being sustained. And by we, I mean you. Us. This
the
is
community.
A community radio station.
Yep.
This is our winter membership drive, and what we need you to do right now is call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO. That's right.
So, and like I said, pick up this amazing gift of living simply well and making a difference with Sustained Happiness by Sarah Van Gelder, and get a subscription to Yes Magazine. It's a great true for. If that doesn't float your little boat, how about for a $75 membership? That's $625 a month. You can get a 4 gig KBOO flash drive filled with MP3s and podcasts to play from your chosen device. And this is exclusive content only available on KBOO's USB flash drive. That's a really fun thing to do, huh, Will?
I think it's a phenomenal thing to do. I'm rereading One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a great novel, obviously, by Ken Kesey, mm-hmm. set in Oregon. And Kesey is one of the philosophers and thinkers on that flash drive. And there are many other people. I believe Dick Gregory's on there, an extremely important cultural figure.
Pete Molly Seeger. Ivins. That's from the archives.
The list doesn't end, does
and
it?
We have, no, it doesn't.
And Susan Faludi. I wrote her book, Stift, back when I had my eyesight. And I thought that was a fascinating book. I still want to read her book, Backlash. I haven't found that on audio. But there are so many great philosophers, thinkers, and political pundits on that flash drive. And you can get that by dialing 877-500-5266.
Absolutely. And now I believe Black Book Talk is coming up. Right, Rob?
One more segment for Sarah Van Gelder.
I could watch the time if I felt like it, couldn't I? Okay.
Sarah Van Gelder, is there anything that we've missed that in this short period of time that you feel is important to make note of, or something you really want to stress?
Well, I guess I would just say that a lot of the discussion about sustainability feels like it's got a lot of shoulds and a lot of other people trying to tell you that you shouldn't get to have so much fun. And you should sacrifice in order to help the planet. And I think one of the things that's been so interesting for me about doing this work is realizing that a lot of this is actually about having more joy in our lives, more nourishing community, more sense of happiness and well-being, not less. It takes a little bit of reflection to realize that all the stuff isn't really where the good life is going to come from. But once we do, I think there's just so much more opportunities for joy and really nourishing our individual souls, but also the souls of our whole community.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for coming in and talking about this and your work at Yes Magazine. And I want to mention that I've been speaking with Sarah Van Gelder,
who is co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine, and she is the editor, along with the staff of the magazine, of this new book we've been talking about today, Sustainable Happiness, as subtitled, Live Simply, Live Well, Make a Difference.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO.
Here's a reminder that this interview with Sarah Van Gelder had to be edited for the membership drive. If you would like to hear the entire interview, go to our website, kboo.fm/betweenthecovers. The unedited version of the interview will be available for you to listen to there in about 1 hour from now.
Wondering what to do for Valentine's Day? Sword fights, tap dancing, prizes, and a talent show are just a few of the exciting acts you'll see at this year's KBOO benefit, Contessa de la Luna's Valentine's Spectacular. Don't miss this annual event that is sure to delight and amaze your eyes and ears. Let La Contessa entertain you Thursday, February 12, 2015, at the Clinton Street Theater. This is the perfect Valentine date night. Show starts at 7 p.m. That's Thursday, February 12th, 7 p.m., Clinton Street Theater. Tickets available now. Go to kboo.fm/talent show.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne, serving the community breakfast, lunch, and dinner for more than 30 years. Lunch was provided by Mississippi Pizza Pub, more than 10 years of pizza and salads for the community, along with live music, trivia, karaoke, and bingo. Located on Mississippi Avenue, more info, mississippipizza.com. Dinner was provided by De Nicolas Italian Restaurant, which is family-owned and serving Italian food, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. More info at denicolasitaliandining.com.
Good morning. This is O.B. Hill, and this is the Black History Month edition of Black Book Talk. We have a